Hey guys, so at the end of my last episode, I said that this episode would be about player scouting and player recruitment, and this was something that I kind of stumbled on when I was with the Revolution. In fact, our assistant general manager, John Navarez, and I just started talking on the way home from, or back to the office from lunch one day about football, and me being a former football coach and having coached with some players that played at the University of Minnesota. Minnesota is where I'm from. I have a knowledge of the skills that it takes to play at the professional level, and just what raw talent looks like, and I also just love the game of football from a schematic standpoint, and coaching, and I just love football. It was a real pleasure for me to be a scout and to be able to look at incoming college players and break down film, and also to be able to contact them and contact their agents and their former college coaches and start to develop a base of knowledge about them as an individual, as well as build a relationship with them and their inner circles. But it's not an easy thing to do at all. Sometimes it could be the most stressful aspect of what you do when you're working in a small environment like I was. There were times where I would sit on the phone with agents, and the agents would be very rude. Because, to be completely honest, like I said in my previous episodes, indoor football players do not make that much money. Therefore, if a player signs with the indoor football team, their agent does not make a lot of money. And so, understandably, agents are less likely to encourage their players to play indoor football. On top of that, you know, there's a stigma among athletes that, oh, if I don't make it to the NFL, then, you know, it's not worth it if I don't make it right away. And I don't want to play indoor football because I'm better than that. And the reality of the situation is both the NFL and the CFL are so talent-rich that even if you are talented enough to play at either one of those levels, you may not get an opportunity, especially at certain positions. When you look at skilled positions like the wide receivers and quarterbacks and running backs, and then you look at the marquee defensive positions like defensive end, because pass rushing has become such a valued commodity in football in general, professional football in general, in the last, you know, 10, 15 years. So what I learned to do as a recruiter, one of the biggest things is you got to develop a personal relationship with the player, but not cross that professional line. You want to develop a personal relationship so that the player gets off the phone and they're like, man, I like this. I like this scout that I just talked to. And I would like to look into possibly being a part of the team or possibly working out with the team because I enjoyed speaking with their staff. And then when you are developing that personal relationship, you have to make sure that it's a player who for sure can play at the professional level. a lot of times when you're looking at film, especially when you're looking at a player from a smaller school, you have to take into account the talent level that is around them and who they're playing against, because it's very easy for players to look very good when they're playing against lower levels of talent, and then they get to the next level, the professional level, and they're not able to do it. And this takes time. It takes time to develop an eye for what truly professional level talent is. I know for me, I spent a lot of time watching small school players initially because I was trying to be the guy that found the small school gym. You know, everybody wants to do that so everybody can be like, oh, you're such a great scout, you're able to find small school talent like this. But the reality is, it's very rare that you'll find a player of professional caliber at that level initially. You have to develop a keen eye for what it looks like, what the raw skills look like at the professional level. And so you have to watch players from larger schools, like the conferences like the SEC and the Big Ten and higher level Division II conferences, like the MEAC as well. So again, the more film you watch, the better you'll be. But I would encourage you always, if you're trying to get into the scouting world, be a student of the game. Really watch as much of the professionals in the industry as you can. Read as much as you can. Try and learn as much as you can from individuals like Tony Dungy. Read his books are great. John Gruden has some books out there that are very good. Bill Belichick, the New England Patriots head coach, has a number of books that are very, very helpful when you're trying to break into the industry. And then, for me, one of the main things I did, because quite honestly, I'm not a huge fan of reading, I just watched NFL Network, or I have watched NFL Network since I was like 10 years old. It's been an addiction for me. I study the game of football in my sleep. Literally, I've been told that sometimes I will talk in my sleep. I'll be talking X's and O's in my sleep. But that's a key. You really have to have a passion for the game, and you have to be willing to sit through hours and hours of film, and willing to be up at 3 a.m. watching film on guys to really improve. And one of the biggest things I got to do as a recruiter and as a scout when I was an intern was help to put together a workout for one of our contacts in the CFL. So we put together a workout with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in Canada. They're one of the teams that's part of the CFL. And I got to work with their head scout, David Payne, as well as our assistant general manager, John Navarez, and a scouting colleague of mine and good friend, Mr. Colbert. We sat for hours in the weeks prior to this event trying to find the most talented guys we could find. And then the challenge is when you call all those schools and you gotta get their contact information, the first thing that happens when you say you're with a professional indoor football team is they, sometimes coaches will question, like, why are you calling me talking about a CFL workout when you're with an indoor football league? And there were a number of coaches that didn't take us seriously and didn't believe that we had a real connection with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders of the CFL. And so we always, some of the contact information we wanted, we didn't get. But all in all, between David Payne and our staff, we were able to get a large number of guys out there. The five guys that the Revolution staff, including myself, were able to get out there were very good. They did a fantastic job at the workout. And one of the guys that I contacted and got to the workout, it was able to talk to David Payne after the workout about going to Canada and training with the wide receiver coaches with the Rough Riders. They weren't going to sign him right away, but they had enough interest in him after the workout to offer him an opportunity to come to Canada and to work with some of their receivers coaches, which is a big deal. The player decided to stay in the States and is now playing with another organization. But all in all, I was pretty proud of myself after that day, because the five recruits that I was able to get down there myself actually ended up putting up the best numbers in all the tests that we did, the 40-yard dash, the pro agility, the vertical, and also the one-on-one drills that we did. They were the ones who showed the best during the workout. So I was proud of myself. And what it really made me realize is how much work it takes to put together a team, a professional team. How much contacting of schools you have to do, how much contacting of coaches, and long conversations with coaches about, in-depth conversations about players, the type of people they are first and foremost. But then on top of that, just the contacting of the players and building up a relationship so that they know that you're a trustworthy person, and they respect you and your organization. All in all, just being a scout is one of the toughest jobs that I think I've ever done, honestly. Just because there's so much involved with the work. It's not just, oh, this player looks good on film. You have to then talk to your colleagues and see if they're seeing the same things you are on film. Because, to be honest, sometimes you'll miss certain important skills on film, and your coworkers will help you see the things that you miss, and they'll be able to give you an honest opinion if your opinion is wrong about a certain player. There are many times where I was watching film and I would see a player that I thought was talented enough and excited about getting them to come down and work out for the Revolution. And then I'd show the film to one of my colleagues, and my colleagues would say, well, look at look at the talent level they're playing against, or look at the way that their opponents are playing them from a technique standpoint, or that player has an off-field issue that wasn't publicized right away, so when you did your initial research, it didn't show up. Stuff like that. There's so much that goes into putting together a group of talented individuals that are also good people. And it's really a joy. It was probably my favorite thing I did all summer. And I am trying to become better. Make connections with other NFL franchises with their scouting departments, and I'm really working to become better, and someday I hope to be able to work in the NFL or the CFL as a scout. Ultimately, I'd like to win the Super Bowl and be part of the Super Bowl winning franchise. So, so that was what I learned as a scout this past summer and as a recruiter. Yeah, I hope you enjoyed it. And if there's anything else that you guys are interested in learning about how football operations work or indoor football in general, shoot me a message in the comment section, and I'll try to get to it as soon as I can. Again, thank you for listening, and this concludes my mini-series on my summer internship.